A man steals a loaf of bread to feed his starving family. Society responds by crushing him for 19 years. When he emerges, hardened and bitter, one act of radical compassion changes everything. This is the heartbeat of Victor Hugo's Les Misérables, a novel that has sold over 65 million copies and refuses to fade from our collective consciousness. Why? Because it asks a question we still can't answer. Can a person truly change? And more urgently, does our justice system allow for that possibility, or does it trap people in their worst moments forever? What unfolds across 1,500 pages is not just a story, but a moral reckoning, one that forces us to confront how we treat the desperate, the fallen, and the forgotten. An elderly bishop welcomes Jean Valjean, fresh from 19 years of hard labor, marked by a yellow passport as dangerous, with no questions asked, just dinner on silver plates and a real bed. Valjean repays this kindness by stealing the silver and fleeing. When police drag him back, the bishop does something extraordinary. He claims he gave the silver as a gift, then adds the candlesticks. Jean Valjean, my brother, you no longer belong to evil, but to good. It is your soul that I am buying for you. This moment doesn't instantly transform Valjean. Shortly after, he steals a coin from a young boy. But when he realizes what he's done, he weeps for the first time in 19 years. The bishop's radical mercy has cracked something open, the possibility that he might become more than what society has labeled him. The candlesticks become his conscience, physical reminders of both his capacity for evil and his potential for good. 8 years later, a mysterious stranger named Monsieur Madeleine revolutionizes a dying town's economy, employs hundreds, and becomes mayor. He lives modestly and saves children from burning buildings. Except, the past never stays buried. Enter Inspector Javert, whose rigid moral code divides humanity into law-abiders and criminals. Once a criminal, always a criminal. When he arrives in town, something about the mayor troubles him, a familiarity he can't place. Meanwhile, Fantine, a young woman abandoned by her lover after becoming pregnant, entrusts her daughter Cosette to innkeepers named Thénardier, who treat the child as a slave while demanding ever-increasing payments. When factory workers discover Fantine has an illegitimate child, she's fired. Her descent is harrowing. She sells her hair, then her front teeth, finally turning to prostitution. After a wealthy man assaults her and she retaliates, Javert arrests her. Valjean intervenes, learning her story and ordering her release. Then comes the defining moment. Javert reports that another man, a vagrant named Champmathieu, has been arrested as Jean Valjean. Valjean faces an impossible choice: stay silent and let an innocent man suffer, or reveal himself and abandon everyone who depends on him. Through a night of agonized deliberation, he wrestles with his conscience. At the trial, as Champmathieu faces conviction, Valjean reveals himself, proving his redemption goes beyond surface appearances to the very core of his being. 8-year-old Cosette lives as the Thénardier's unpaid servant, known as the lark for rising before dawn. On Christmas Eve, she's sent to fetch water from the distant spring in the dark forest, terrified and struggling with a bucket too heavy for her small frame. When Valjean appears to help her, the contrast between his strength and her vulnerability creates an immediate bond. He presents her with an expensive doll, her first ever toy, which she names Catherine and regards with reverent wonder. The next morning, he pays the Thénardier's 1,500 francs to take her away. At the Gorbeau house, Valjean discovers the joy of caring for another, and Cosette blossoms under his protection. When Javert discovers them, Valjean faces a dead end at an 18-foot wall. In an extraordinary feat, he scales it with Cosette on his back, escaping into a convent where he works as gardener while she attends boarding school. The convent becomes their sanctuary, allowing both to heal from their traumatic pasts. Marius Pontmercy grows up under his monarchist grandfather, unaware his father was a heroic Bonapartist colonel. At 17, discovering his dying father was prevented from seeing him, Marius undergoes a political awakening, transforming from royalist to revolutionary and joining the Friends of the ABC, idealistic young Republicans who meet in a cafe back room. After quarreling with his grandfather, Marius leaves home to support himself. His poverty is depicted unflinchingly, living in a garret, carefully budgeting his meager translator's income, wearing his one good coat only after dark so its shabby green appears black. Then he sees Cosette during her daily walks with Jean Valjean in the Luxembourg Gardens. Their courtship progresses through glances and silent admiration until they suddenly disappear. Through coincidence, he discovers them on the Rue Plumet. Their secret garden meetings become the novel's most lyrical passages, two young people discovering love while revolution brews around them. Valjean discovers their love through Marius's letter. His jealousy and fear of losing Cosette battle with his desire for her happiness, a struggle that humanizes him. When General Lamarque's funeral sparks the June 1832 uprising, Marius joins his friends at the barricade. Valjean goes to protect his rival, a supreme act of selflessness that will define the novel's climax. The June Rebellion unites all narrative threads in a crucible of heroism and sacrifice. The Friends of the ABC build their barricade knowing death awaits, yet their conviction never wavers. Each character reveals their essence. Enjolras' determination, young Gavroche's irrepressible spirit, Javert's inflexible duty, and Valjean's selfless courage. Gavroche, the street urchin whose wit and courage belie his years, becomes one of literature's most beloved characters. Shot while collecting ammunition from fallen soldiers, he taunts his attackers with improvised verses until a final bullet silences him, one of the novel's most heartbreaking moments. As soldiers overwhelm the barricade, Enjolras calmly offers his chest to their bullets. The perpetually drunk Grantaire, who has slept through the battle, awakens and understands instantly. He crosses to stand beside Enjolras, saying, "You might as well kill two birds with one stone." They die together, believer and doubter united. Valjean performs his greatest sacrifice, carrying the wounded Marius through Paris's sewers, a harrowing journey through darkness and filth, symbolizing his entire moral odyssey. Emerging, he encounters Javert, who allows Valjean to take Marius to safety. This mercy creates an unbearable dilemma for Javert. His rigid worldview cannot accommodate a criminal's redemption. Unable to reconcile this contradiction, he throws himself into the Seine, his death representing the bankruptcy of any system valuing rules over humanity. After Marius recovers and marries Cosette, Valjean reveals his convict past and withdraws, believing he would taint their happiness. Marius, knowing only fragments, coldly facilitates this separation. Relegated to a shabby room, Valjean stops visiting. His daily walks towards Cosette's home grow shorter, like an unwound clock pendulum, until he barely leaves his room. Only when Thénardier attempts blackmail does truth emerge. Trying to prove Valjean a murderer, he inadvertently reveals Valjean carried Marius through the sewers to safety. Marius and Cosette rush to find him dying. In his final moments, he experiences reconciliation's joy, Cosette learning at last about her mother Fantine and the sacrifices made for her. What makes this powerful is its moral complexity. Valjean's sacrifice stems from both selflessness and internalized unworthiness. Marius's coldness reflects genuine concern mixed with unconscious prejudice. Even Cosette's neglect comes from life's natural progression. More than 150 years later, Les Miserables endures because its concerns remain unresolved. Fantine's desperation echoes in every single mother working multiple jobs without healthcare. Gavroche recalls children in urban slums worldwide. The barricade's idealists evoke modern protests against systemic injustice. Yet, the novel's power lies not just in social critique, but in profound humanism. Even villains receive compassionate treatment. The Thénardier's cruelty stems partly from desperation, while Javert's rigidity comes from sincere conviction. The musical has been performed in over 40 countries and 22 languages. Each generation rediscovers Hugo's central question. In a world that labels people by their worst moments, can we create space for transformation? The bishop bought Valjean's soul with silver candlesticks. Valjean saved Cosette from darkness. Together, they proved one person's mercy can ripple through generations. Hugo's question isn't whether people can change, Valjean proves they can. It's whether we'll create a world that allows for that change.